You can turn to Romans chapter 14 tonight. Romans 14, and we'll spend a little bit of time there. But before we get started, I got an update from the missionary, the Savinis today, and they think they got a diagnosis. They said at Boston's Children's, they said that Donald Jr. was diagnosed with rhinovirus, which is just for most people, a common cold. But there are some people that get it that just causes their body to react like they're having a massive allergic reaction to something. And so they're very relieved that that's what the diagnosis was. Certainly probably some more testing to do. But they thank the church for the prayers, and they asked for continued prayers, because this next week will kind of show if that diagnosis is actually accurate depending on what happens. And so if you can continue to pray for them, that would be great. We'll be a little bit in Romans 14. Again, we'll spend 15 or 20 minutes tonight going through the lesson time, and then we'll divide up into the groups and have some discussion over what we're talking about this evening. And so the title, if you have the book, the title is this: I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires. A fun title to cover, a fun thing to discuss, and I hope the Lord will use it tonight to knit our hearts to the thing that is most important, which is the gospel, and to give us a further understanding that there are some things that, while we might differ on preference about these things, in the end, they don't really matter. There are things that will matter for eternity, and there are things that won't matter for eternity. We want to make sure that we're focused on the right thing. So I have a little test for us tonight just to show how united we are in everything. And so I'm going to ask a question, and I want you to blurt out your answer nice and loud so everyone around you can hear you. What is the ideal temperature in the church? A lot of people like 72. Some of you are better Christians and you like it a little cooler. What is the best season in the year? A lot of you like fall, spring. Some of us like winter. All right, this will be a little harder. What is your favorite song?
Amazing Grace.
Bruce is the only one so far. Let's try it again. What is your favorite song?
Amazing Grace.
Some of you are undecided people, but if somebody said their favorite, you're like, how could that be your favorite? There's no way that could be your favorite. Next one, what is your favorite Bible verse? Ephesians, the whole book. I like it too. And then this is probably the one that will have the most arguments over, but what is your favorite ice cream? We'll see afterwards. We should all go to the creamy stand, and we can take a poll and see which ice cream ranked the highest. And so, silly exercise, but what does it very quickly teach us or show us? That as you listen to the answers throughout the room, it's very evident very quickly that we're all different. We all have different preferences, things that we're drawn to, things that we appreciate in life. Certainly, a lot of those things were very, very inconsequential. It doesn't matter in eternity what type of ice cream you like. At least I don't think so. We'll find out when we get there, I guess. But a lot of these things that we talked about in those questions are inconsequential, meaning they don't really matter. Everybody can have a different opinion on some of these things. And as far as the body of Christ is concerned, they're not doctrinal things. They're not the foundation of our faith. And so therefore, we can give room for differences, for people to have their preferences. And those things that people have preferences on don't have to divide us. If you remember, as we've been going through the book of Ephesians, one of the things that Paul has been fighting to correct is this idea that people with differences could actually get along. The Jews and the Gentiles were arguing and fighting over the foundational doctrines of the faith, the things that were going to matter for eternity, the things that mattered right then. And Paul was writing to let them know what? That you are all brothers and sisters in Christ. In Christ, you are all a part of the new humanity or the new man that is created in Christ Jesus. That you all have received the blessings of God that have been lavished upon you by Christ. And so instead of talking about your differences, let's talk about the things that actually unite us. Instead of dividing over things that are less important, let's be united in the things that actually matter. Now, to understand that in first century, especially for the Jews, if they were to do some things or not to do some things, their culture would have kicked them out of society, right? They wouldn't have been allowed to go to certain places or do certain things. And so one of the reasons that Paul was writing the book of Ephesians was to remind them that there was a new group of people that they belonged to, that they had a new father, that they had a new family, so to speak. And in this family, there was to be oneness and unity. And Paul wanted them to know that though they could be rejected by the world systems, they could find security in the church, even though they were coming from different backgrounds and had different desires, even though some of them valued different things, they could still find security in the church. And so when it comes to inconsequential things like preferences or likes and dislikes and styles, we as the church are to be accommodating, recognizing that when these things are not specifically outlined in the Bible, there is room for people to have differences in opinions and taste, as long as those things are not breaking Scripture and are still done to the glory of God. And so people land where they land for a reason. This is something that I have been figuring out through the years. Life used to be very black and white for me. Anybody else like that? I see things as they're supposed to be. And how are they supposed to be? The way I see them, right? The way that I think they should be. And as I've grown as a Christian, as I've grown as an individual, I recognize very quickly that people's background and experiences, the things that they've gone through in life, have caused them to have differing opinions on many issues, and many of the issues that people have differing opinions on really aren't going to matter in the end, so long as they're doing what they're doing to glorify the Lord. We'll talk about some of these things as we go through, and hopefully you'll talk about some of these things in your group time as well. And so when it comes to church membership, I've said it before, but not everything will always be how we would personally do it. And in these scenarios, it's the job of each believer to lay aside their preferences for the sake of the unity of the body and for the sake of the gospel. We joke about it often, but the color of the carpet's not going to matter in heaven, right? So why would we have a church split over that? And yet there are so many places where those inconsequential things become the thing, when they become so internally focused that they're concerned about the way that they want things, that they forget about the truth that there's a world that's lost and dying and going to hell, and instead of fighting for souls, they're fighting one another in the church business meetings that are so fun to attend. And so Paul kind of speaks about this idea in Romans 14. He speaks about this idea of the ability to live with people that have different preferences or do things differently than you do. And he's trying to draw us to this understanding that as long as it's not a major thing, it's okay to have differences. And he calls us to remember this as well, that we don't have to judge one another. Why? Because each of us one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so what should that draw each of us to desire to do? To walk in a way where everything we do, we're filtering it through the Word of God to make sure that our actions and the things that we're giving ourselves to are actually glorifying to the Lord. And so we'll look at Romans 14 in just a few minutes. But I have three headings that I want to consider briefly tonight. We'll talk about these for a moment and then break up. The first thing is this: personal preferences make us unique, and that's a good thing. Personal preferences make us unique, and that's a good thing. If we all had to like the same food and dress the same way and enjoy the same entertainment, then the church would be a pretty one-dimensional place. And so throughout the scripture, we see that personal differences are not dissolved in the gospel, but to some degree, they're celebrated in the gospel. That people from different backgrounds and different ways of life that have different ways of doing things can actually still be united together, and one day we will be together forever in eternity. And so it's best for us to focus on what really is the main thing instead of fighting over the things that won't matter in the end. We see this in missions. When a missionary goes from the United States to another culture, their job is to not make an American church in a different culture. Their job is to embrace the things in the culture that are embraceable and train in the things that are not embraceable, right? And if a missionary is going there and saying, you know, this is how we did it in Kentucky, so this is how we got to do it in the jungles of Africa, I don't know how successful they're going to be. And if they're successful, how is that success actually measured? Is it measured by people that are actually growing in the Lord, or is it measured by people that are just simply growing to be like the missionary? There's something we have to consider. And so personal preferences make us unique. And as we see that in different cultures around the world, I think we see that in our own culture here as well. When these differences are celebrated, when they're not against the Bible, they can be celebrated and they can be used to strengthen the body as we approach them in the right way. Romans 14, verses 1 through 8, kind of a longer section, but we'll read it quick. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that they may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, or he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And so Paul gives an illustration, two different illustrations in this text, to kind of draw out this idea of the preferences that were okay to differ on in the church that was at Rome. Paul said some people regard a day to the Lord, and it is strongly in their conscience that they need to observe this day in this way to honor the Lord. And what does he say? Another man regards how many days to the Lord? Every day to the Lord. And so who's right? They're both right. Why? Because their hearts are in the right place. Their heart is to honor the Lord and to glorify the Lord in the things that they're doing, in the way that they're doing it. Paul says one man eats everything, that's me, and one man eats only herbs. You guys know I don't like salads, right? Who's right? Well, in this New Testament era, there was actually a lot of debate over this. What meats can we eat? What meats can't we eat? And there was a whole dream and a vision about this, right? Don't call clean what I have called unclean, and don't call unclean the thing that I have called clean. And Paul is saying, as long as they're doing it to the Lord and they're not breaking Scripture, then the differences in preferences are going to be okay. Now, who's ever been uncomfortable by somebody else's preferences? What is your job in that moment? Keep your mouth shut. I like the way Miss Jean preaches. Keep your mouth shut, right? If it's not breaking Scripture, keep your mouth shut. It's not your job to go and convince them to come to your side. And it's not their job to convince you to take part in the preference that they enjoy. Paul actually speaks about that. He says, if you're causing somebody to go against their conscience before God, you're actually causing them to sin, and you're sinning yourself. So be careful when it comes to these things. And so in this area of preferences, it's okay to look around the room and see that these preferences in some ways make us unique. This is all a joke, but let's say Matt Biernat loves Southern gospel music. He dresses very conservative, no flashy colors at all. He won't eat or work out on Sunday. We know that's not true, but he's a believer. And let's say that I differ on Matt in every one of those things. Do you know that we have everything we need to still act and live as brothers in Christ? Why? Because we are bound to one another in the gospel. Our differences, we may not hang out. We may not be the best of friends, but we're certainly not enemies. And I think for so long, the church has believed this idea or this lie that to be Christ-like, you must be like me. No, to be Christ-like, we must be like Christ. And there's room for preferences. There's room to have differences so long as those differences are not breaking the Scriptures. So that's the only caveat. People want to say, I can do anything because of Christ. Well, no, you can't do anything, right? The Scripture still has standards. There are some things that you'll be comfortable with that other people won't be comfortable with. We have to make sure that our lives are still lining up with the Word of God. Second thing, and it kind of flows from number one, but my personal preferences should not divide. So personal preferences are good because they make us unique, and it elevates the gospel to show that God is reaching people from all different walks of life that have different likes and desires. They're all coming into the family of God. And from that, we understand that my personal preferences should not divide. For many people, when they're looking for a church, they're simply looking for something that fits all the boxes that they feel are important. And I've had this conversation more than one time. Most of the time when I have that conversation with people, the things that are important are not doctrinal things. They're preferential things. What can you offer me and my family? What style of music do you sing? What version of the Bible do you use? Most of the time, these things are preferential. And as we understand this idea of preferences, we must understand that our preferences, they're not wrong to have. We land where we land for a reason, but our preferences should not be the reason we're dividing from somebody else. And so as we think about this idea of preferences dividing, a lot of people can dress right and sing right and read from the right version and still be very far away from a gospel-preaching church. Do you believe that? How many cults have come from places that dressed right and sang right and used the right book? A lot of cults, a lot of false teachings. And so we have to be careful to understand that it's not wrong to have preferences, but what is wrong is when we choose our preferences over actually looking into the doctrines of the Word of God. And so our preferences are not wrong. And there's some churches that you could say, you know, I don't know that I could be a member there. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But if there's one church in your town and that church does something that you don't like, it is wrong for you to say, I'm going to forsake assembling together with the people of God because they don't do things exactly like I like them to do them. And so we have to be careful. Preferences make us unique. Preferences are not the reason that we divide. There are times to divide over certain things, but simple preferences are not always the reason. And why is that? Because God, again, has given us the unique opportunity to minister in different places and reach different people. And what we have to understand is that in our preferences, I'm not another man's judge, but one day I will stand before the judge. Paul mentions that in Romans 14:4. He says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And so I would ask us tonight, what preferences in our lives do we actively judge people over? You ever thought about that before? What things in my life do I look down on other people because of the fact that they don't do it like I do? And then a follow-up question would be, what have you caused an issue over that won't matter in eternity? The third thing that I want to see briefly tonight, and then we'll wrap up, is personal preferences, and these all flow together. You probably could say, Dan, you should have just had one point, and you're probably right, but personal preferences should never be the main thing. So how do we protect the unity of the body from being fractured by inconsequential things? We stick to the statement of we keep the main thing. And what is the main thing? It's the gospel. The gospel is indeed the main thing. Is the gospel the only important thing? Absolutely not. But the gospel is the primary main thing, for from the gospel we understand who God is and the love that God has for us and the call that he has in our lives. The gospel is not just about God saving us from our sins. The gospel is about our lives being changed. And so if we preach the gospel, what's going to happen? Our lives are going to begin to reflect that gospel, and the way that we live will in turn line up with the Word of God. And so who gets to determine what the main thing is? Well, we have a church business meeting and we take a vote and then we argue at the end because we didn't know, right? Who gets to determine the main thing? God already has determined the main thing in his word. And so we elevate, as we talked about this morning, we elevate the word of God. It's not a majority rules situation. It's that the gospel rules. And the things that you would differ on with someone, find common ground on the primary doctrines that have united the church throughout the years and stand firm on them. Again, it doesn't mean that everybody is going to see eye to eye on everything and that we're all going to be the bestest of friends. Like, I don't even know if the idea of best friends should exist, right? Yeah. Let's just be friends. Let's just get along and be kind to one another. And let's stand on the truth that unites us. So what makes this work? Well, when we stick to the main thing, then we're constantly thinking through the gospel. We're remembering who we were and what we've done and what we deserved. And we're remembering the grace that God looked upon us with, and though we had a lot of unique differences from God in that moment, what did God do? He still chose to save us. He still chose to redeem us and rescue us and bring us into his family. And so I'd encourage you to read Romans 14 in its length later on, and as you read it for yourself, we'll understand again this idea of highlighting the main thing, keeping the main things the main thing, and being willing to agree to disagree on lesser things. It's interesting, as Paul writes in Romans 14, as he's talking about the brothers that would have a disagreement, the weaker brother that Paul highlights is actually the one with a stricter conscience. Is Paul saying that we then have to walk on eggshells around everybody that has a stricter conscience than we do? No. As the weaker brother and as the one who's not the weaker brother. We're called to live in unity with one another, recognizing the differences that are there and choosing not to divide over those things. I was called out on Facebook recently for something that I posted, and it was from another pastor. He called me out publicly. And so what did I do? I called him out publicly right back. No. What did I do? I sent him a private message. Why? Because that's the way to handle differences. The world doesn't need to know that there's division between brothers in Christ. We can disagree on things, and when I reached out to him, I said, hey, brother, I know that we disagree on these things. I want you to know that arguing over this on social media is probably only going to distract the world from what really matters, and I also want you to know I'm praying for you and your church. And then you know what I did? This is not to toot my own horn, because there's many times where I haven't done this. I prayed for him and his church. Why? Because that's what truly matters, to be united on the things that will last for eternity. We had a family. Don't worry, they don't go here anymore. Many of you wouldn't know them. But they left the church over music. And it wasn't because we sang crazy music. It's because we used instruments for our music. And as I talked with them and about the situation, they found it better to go someplace else. And we agreed to disagree. I said, well, you're not going to make problems here, I'll tell you that. Like, we're not going to change just for one person. And so they decided to go to a different church. But what struck me is they were willing to go from a church that they said was a Bible-preaching church and go join a church that would differ heavily on doctrine, with especially the idea of baptizing babies for salvation. They're willing to go to a church that is compromised on doctrine. Why? Because there was something here that bothered their preferences. Is that crazy? That's crazy. But as they did that, understand this, any of us are prone to do that if we get distracted by the wrong thing. Any of us are prone to making the wrong thing the main thing, and in doing so, we will walk away from truth and we will begin to embrace lies. The author of the book, I'm going to hit these things and then we'll wrap up and break up, but the author of the book gives 10 things that prove whether or not you're an inward-focused or an outward-focused church. Their research team conducted a survey, and what they found was this. Inward-focused churches, they found these findings, that worship wars are a real thing, that complaints about music, song selection, what instruments are holy and what instruments are not holy, those are the things that eat up people's time in churches that were inwardly focused. They had constant meetings over inconsequential things. I can remember being in a church like that as a kid. They had a committee for everything. They had the Sunshine Committee. I don't even know what the Sunshine Committee did, but they had the Sunshine Committee. I don't know if they voted on whether or not the sun could or could not rise, but they had the Sunshine Committee. These churches were facility-focused, meaning that more concern was shared or given over protection of furniture and rooms in the grounds than actually the gospel that was being preached. These churches were program-driven, meaning everyone needed their ministry to take place. They had an inwardly focused budget, taking care of, making their place the best and the finest while forsaking the gospel around the world. They had an inordinate demands for pastoral care. People demanded and deserved individual pastoral time every week. Sorry, I don't offer that. Do my best, but I don't offer it. An attitude of entitlement. They were more concerned with change than preaching the gospel, holding on to their way rather than reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anger and hostility, that same church that I mentioned earlier. As kids, we used to hide and sit at the top of the stairs to listen to the yelling and screaming that took place in the business meetings. What a sad reality. But you know what they would vote on every few years? To change this multi-$1,000 chandelier that hung in the church entryway. And then they had evangelistic apathy. And so when we focus on our preferences, when we focus on our own wants and desires, we'll be a church that looks inward, saying, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? We'll start to fight and argue and get people on our team so that at the next business meeting, we can get our way rather than seeking to be a church that is unified and united and working together to the glory of the Lord. We'll divide up into our groups. There'll be a group in the lobby, a group back here, and a group right here. Feel free to go where you please.